Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. This week, the city of Milwaukee and area schools are holding events to celebrate boys and men of color. Education can make a big difference in those boys' lives.
Recently, WUWM news reporters explored how diverse teachers help minority students succeed. In Milwaukee, most students are Black and Hispanic, but their teachers are mostly white. Two people trying to address that imbalance are Linnell Ramey and Juan Baez.
Ramey heads Milwaukee Public Schools' Office of Black and Latino Male Achievement. Baez leads the Bilingual Education Department. They spoke with WUWM education reporter Emily Files about their education experiences and what they think keeps men of color from entering the teaching profession.
My name is Dr. Juan Baez. I currently serve as a director for the Department of Bilingual Multicultural Education.
My name is Linnell Ramey, and I serve as the director of the Black and Latino Male Achievement Department. Me, personally, I think, you know, people haven't, in particular Black males in this city, weren't necessarily drawn to that career because for years factories, which is I think drove a lot of the central city jobs and men of color. So that I think became, how can I say it, the be all for employment. Like, oh, you can be just, you know, be in the factory and work and make great money. And I think that's what, and then you take in the negative press that unfortunately MPS gets. And then I think it scares people away from wanting to be teachers in the classroom. And I think that's overall, because this is a national problem. We have national partnerships throughout the country. And then this is an issue that impacts every, you know, major, I think, urban district there is. It's not being able to have men of color in the classroom.
I would add to that, I think when you think about the historical aspect of just education, especially in the United States, it's always been a pretty female-dominated profession, right? I think looking at those historical trends along with some of the workforce development pieces, I think some of the narratives that exist around what men of color are capable of and where they fit in society, which oftentimes is not defined by us as men of color, those are narratives that we have to begin to change. And then when you just throw in a lot of the public backlash when it comes to teachers and what they are and what they're not, et cetera, you know, we'll be like you really got to have a strong conviction to become a teacher. It's not something that you can just say, oh, I'm going to try teaching today. You know, that's just other jobs you can do that. Teaching is not one of those jobs where you want to do that. And so it just hasn't been on a lot of the radar for our men of color. And so I think we need to change that. I think with the research that's been coming up, that really speaks to our young men doing better when they have someone that looks like them in the classroom. That their attendance is better, their academic achievement is better, their affective connections to schools is stronger. And we don't say that white folks can't teach kids of color, because he had one of his best teachers was a white man. But we know that from the research, they're going to tend to do better.
Were both of you teachers at some point?
No.
Okay. You were? Mm-hmm. What was your experience like?
So I came into MPS. I became a teacher because of some of the negative experiences I had as a student in MPS. And I had two teachers that were critical to my turnaround, if you will. That was a seventh grade teacher and my freshman teacher. And I went to, you know, I'm a product of MPS, View School at North Division. And I say that proudly. And so those two teachers really demonstrated for me what was possible when you really connected with your students and you took them in and you looked past just the manifestations of behavior. From that, I wanted to become a teacher. So I taught at Kosciuszko Middle School as a sixth grade bilingual teacher. And I think initially my experience was positive. I came in, I worked hard, I thought I was going to save the world. I still have that belief, it's kind of what continues to drive me. But I quickly realized that there's a lot of bureaucracy in education in general. And I also realized that there were systems that were just not set up for kids that look like me to be very successful, from how we test to how we structure schools sometimes. So there's a lot of other things that we also have to look at. So I would say overall it was positive but very challenging. Because the other flip side of that is, as a man of color, you know, I was always looked at with anything that was going on with kids of color, whether they were black or brown, like somehow Juan Baez always had the answer for it. And I was one of the few men of color in my building as well. There were a couple others, but they struggled to relate to particularly black students.
And I, let me add this. I wasn't a teacher. I was a para, actually. And so, and you know what? And that was my first experience, really, within a kind of a working with youth scenario. But I was in a school that was on the far south side, but 85% of their students were bused in from the north side. So the entire building was basically comprised of white teachers, but there was a black administrator. And she really came to me and asked, she said, I need your help. Can you help me working with our black boys? And it was really then when I remember and recollect, though, the need for that connection in the school to someone who looked like them. Could they not necessarily say because I was going to treat them any different, was that you understand kind of what I'm dealing with or going through or feeling or whatever it might have been, where it seemed like for them no one else seemed to was willing to listen and understand what they may have been going through and dealing with. But then at times, to Dr. Baez's point, whenever that young man that I might have been working with had a problem, it seemed like everybody wanted to run to Linnell to say, hey, can you come? Like, well, can you take such and such? Or can you work with such and such? Or can you pull them out? And so I remember that feeling. So
that was putting a lot on you.
And being the only one in the building, I was the only man of color in the building, only one at a para level or at a teacher level. So it was, you know, a constant, right? And so it was tough. And that's why I chuckle a little bit. So it's funny that I'm in the school district. And I was like, I don't know if I could be a classroom teacher. Because just having to, you know, the burden of dealing with all of that, you know. But, yeah, that was tough at the time.
Hmm. Yeah, so the more teachers of color are in a building, perhaps the less pressure would be put on them to be the go-to person to try to relate to students.
Well, it's twofold, right? It's like we have to get teachers to look in the mirror and have a culture-responsive lens, right? They have to understand. It's like you can relate even if you don't look like, right? Like, and Dr. Baez alluded to this, but like my favorite teacher this day, Thomas Wilde, was a Riverside high school teacher. He started teaching my freshman year. That was his first year teaching. And he was the reason I looked at my education through a different lens, because he cared. And he didn't try to be quote unquote cool or do it. He just listened and then he talked and we developed a relationship, which is key. Yes, it would be great to have more black male teachers in front of our young boys, but we also want teachers to take a culture responsive practice lens and wear that with a badge of honor and look in the mirror and deal with their implicit biases and understand, like, that's okay. They're there, deal with them, so then we can teach better for our young people. Because we can't keep blaming the young boys for being a problem. They're not the ones that's broken. The system that were created was the ones that are broken. So we have to respect that and understand that. But the moment we put that hat on and say, okay, I'm looking at things differently, let me just talk to this young man and try to figure out what his needs are. Because it's about the relationship in the classroom.
And I would just add to that very briefly that's a responsibility we all bear, mm-hmm. you know, because especially when you think about Milwaukee and you think about how segregated we are, these are situations and circumstances that were created by design when you look at redlining and things of that nature. And when you look at employment practices, so these are microcosms, or I would say macrocosms of a society that now manifest themselves in schools over decades. And so we all have that responsibility to shift the narratives that perpetuate that black and brown are criminals. And we see that now, right, from our politicians. And so we have to shift that, because people that don't engage with us on a day-to-day basis, that's all they know. And when they become teachers and they come from different parts of the state or country that where they don't engage with people of color as much, that's all they have to go by, and they're getting set up for failure.
So tell me more about what MPS and specifically your offices are doing around culturally responsive teaching and working with the predominantly white teacher workforce that exists right now about how they can be better teachers to all students.
We actually are part of the kind of training development team here, where we're actually talking about culture responsiveness, actually talking about those conversations that should be had in the classroom. We did listening sessions, for example, with 1,100 black and Latino boys in 25 different high schools and middle schools. Part of that listening session was really designed to hear from them on what their experiences were in the classroom.
Could we just pause on that? Sure. What did they say? What did you hear from the students?
Things like, you know, they don't understand what I'm going through when I come in this building. They really don't care about me. All they care about is, you know, getting a check at the end of the day. They're teaching material they don't care nothing about, so why should I care about the stuff they're teaching about? So they were actually responding to that feeling in the classroom of feeling isolated, not connected, or not having a relationship. So really sharing that information with administrators and teachers was really about saying, listen, here's what they're saying. So how do we get to a point where we value what they're saying and then make changes in our efforts in the classroom? And then understanding, too, that a child that might be late, a 16-year-old boy who might be late for school, isn't choosing to be late. You don't know what his circumstances are that made him late that day. So always pointing the finger and quantifying, like, oh, you're late every single day. Why don't you find out what's going on, and let's see if we can figure out a way to help that him, because his home life impacts his school life. And if you disregard what he's dealing with every night, then you're disregarding who he is, because that's a part of who he is. And so it's very important that in our trainings that we have those type of dialogues with teachers to let them know. So.
Can I add one more? Mm-hmm. But one that stuck out, in terms of a pattern was, and we heard this over and over again, because we will go and do these sessions, is that their sense of identity at school had to be compromised. They felt they needed to be one way on their way to school, they needed to be another way while they were in school, because they were constantly adjusting to what they thought they needed to be in school in order to survive. And that oftentimes the teachers did not help that situation.
So you got that input from the students, and now what's being done, or what are you planning to try to implement within MPS around culturally responsive teaching or anything related to that?
So I want to definitely take this opportunity to definitely give a shout out to our equity specialist in the district, Dr. Latish Reed. And so she really leads. We collaborate with her. My team also collaborates with her around the linguistic aspects of being culturally and linguistically responsive. But she's developed a number of professional developments, as Linnell mentioned, really trying to hit teachers' implicit bias around how they work with students of color. She's also developed cohorts of, she calls them CRT fellows, culturally responsive teacher fellows. And so these teachers come, I think, once a month and receive additional training around what it takes to be culturally and linguistically responsible, with the hopes that then they can be leaders and ambassadors for that work at the school level.
Is there anything else that either of you wants to add?
This is about uplifting the entire district. This is, we're focusing on where the energies need to be the most, simply to create the best practices that help every student. This is not about divide and conquer. This is not about eliminating. This is about being inclusive of everyone. But we have to start where we know the data points to and where the data speaks to the most need is. And that's serving right now Black and Latino boys, male students here in the district. But we do know, we feel at the end of the day, when all this is said and done, our district overall will improve.
And so I would add to what he just said, that with that, this is a responsibility that's not only ours as a district and as schools, but also as a community, as a city. And so if whoever is listening to this, come join us. Mm-hmm. We're always looking for mentors. We're always looking for support. We're always looking for thought partners from the community and beyond. So reach out to us, and we definitely want to make this really a community effort.
Juan Baez is director of the MPS Bilingual Education Office. Linnell Ramey leads the MPS Office of Black and Latino Male Achievement. They spoke with WUWM education reporter Emily Files. You can find a link with more information on their efforts with this report on WUWM.com.